before, he's expanding this. Say, I'm expanding. Come on, you're growing in Jesus, amen? You're getting bigger and stronger. You're coming to a deeper level. And so, we don't want to forget what God said about the previous years, because the Word of God is progressive, whether it's written or whether it's spoken, amen? And so we need to hold on to that. But if you would, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. And what's on my heart is, I want to ask you two questions. And then I want you to hold those two questions in your heart as we move through this study and see how these two questions need to impact us and to help us be a witness to people who are outside the body of Christ. Amen? So, how many would testify tonight that they love the Lord? Amen. I believe that needs to be our testimony, that we know that Jesus first loved us, right? And that we love Him. But for us to love Him and Him to love us, we've got to call Him Lord. So how many will call Jesus Lord? So hold that in your heart as we move forward, and we'll see some things that the Spirit of God would have for us tonight. Matthew chapter 28, let's read verses 18, 19, and 20 for a text. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. When you're there, say amen. Verse 18, this is Jesus after the crucifixion, after going to the tomb, going to the grave, coming up out, showing that death could not hold him. And he comes, and this is the last words to his disciples, his followers. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now mark that down in your mind's eye, write it on the table of your heart. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, the end of the age. Amen. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes.
Give us the willingness in our heart, Lord, to step forth and open up to you, Lord, and receive your word.
Yes.
Into our minds and to our souls and into our lives, Lord, forever changing our paths, Lord, and our destiny be found in our hearts, Lord. And I ask you in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for honoring the word. Once again, thank you for being here tonight, for your presence. I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for your prayer. So what's on my heart tonight is we see the Bible being fulfilled before our very eyes. The Word of God tells us that in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. And I believe that you and I are seeing that more and more. And why is that happening? It's happening because what I heard in the Spirit was it's either Christ or compromise. Christ or compromise. You and I, we can't have both. Now, the world church, they're going to have Christ, and they're going to have this God and that God. They're going to have this doctrine and that doctrine. But the church of the living God can only have Christ. And so you and I tonight, we cannot have the spirit of compromise working in our lives. And we need to be in the place and the position that we love those around us enough to tell them that God sent Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to cover them in His very shed blood, that they could be white as snow, that they could have a brand new life. I needed to know that I could have a brand new life, didn't you? I needed to know that there was something better than what I was living, something better than what I was experiencing. There was some happiness and a lot of turmoil. Come on, without Jesus. And I'd rather have the joy of Jesus, because happiness goes away. But the joy of Jesus is something that comes inside the believer, and it's there to abide with you and for you and I forever. And because He gives it to us, the world can't take it away. Amen. It's ours. And so what's on my heart tonight is we got to come back and we've got to meet some things head on. There is a movement right now that is growing stronger and stronger before our very eyes. It's the hyper grace movement, and it's the movement that, well, if you if you meet Jesus, that you can be forgiven, and then you don't have to worry about anything else. You can just live how you want to live, and because you met Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. you and I, we got to step back and we got to look at the Word of God. The Word of God tells us in Revelation 21:27 that there will be nothing that defiles enter into the kingdom of heaven. There'll be nothing that works abomination. There'll be nothing that is a lie that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you and I, we want to know that, yes, we're saved by grace, not by works, but the grace of God will produce a work in our life of holiness, of sanctification. And so we've got to stand up and say, listen, we cannot compromise with the world. We can't compromise with what the flesh says, what the all of this that's going on the outside of the very body of Christ. Come on, not a four-wall building, but the body of Christ. You and I, we're in Him. That's the church. And we've got to stay strong in that. And so we need to step back and we need to say, listen, I know I'm saved by grace, but I know that grace is going to work something in my life. And I know that Jesus, out of His mouth, He gave some commandments. See, everybody wants to say, well, Jesus fulfilled all the law. There's nothing that you and I have to do. Don't worry about it. That's not true. That is not true at all. Jesus reaffirmed the commandments in the Old Testament. And if you just listen to the greatest teaching, the greatest sermon that was ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, He lays it out for you and I. And so when Jesus gives us this command, look what He said there in verse number 20. He said that you and I were to teach other people to observe all things whatsoever He commanded. Well, I can't teach something I don't know. So I've got to get back where I've got to let the Lord teach me. And as He teaches me, then I take what He teaches me and I live an evangelistic lifestyle. Right. Come on, that's what touches people when you just live Jesus before Him. Sister Anna, you just walk in what you know. And when you walk in what you know, you're faithful to that point of growth and there's power behind it. There's love behind it. There's truth that reaches people. And so I just want us to look at some things tonight I think that will be a blessing to us, because I heard the Holy Ghost say very clearly, tell my church that what worked yesterday will not work today. Come on, we've got to stay moving with the Lord. And that's why we're going to see a lot of churches, I'm sorry, but they're going to fold. They're going to come to naught because they're not in the place and the position of letting God be who He is. Come on, Jesus is Lord, nobody else. And so we've got to get back to that reality. So let's look at some things I think that will bless us and will help us so very much. In the Word of God, we've got so much teaching that Jesus gives us. Go with me to John chapter 14. And let's see out of the mouth of Jesus what He says. Now, he said for you and I to go forth and to tell people about how much He loves them. You know, we don't need to be talking about what our church believes or what we believe. I don't know about you, but the things that I used to believe, they're not that important anymore. You know what I mean? My beliefs have changed and they're going to continually change. What I need to be talking about is just how much God loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. He gave Jesus, that whosoever believeth on Him, but they can't believe on Him unless there's a preacher. Say, I'm a preacher. Come on, you're a preacher. Amen. And so you've got something to tell people. Tell people how much God loves them. God didn't want to send them to hell. He's wanting to bring them to heaven. And so here's a thought that Jesus gave. Look at John 14:15. Now you notice it's red letters, so it's Jesus talking. And He said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. So, and we're gonna in closing, we're gonna look at three things, but that we need to take home tonight about the commandments of the Lord. But Jesus gives us this hope here, and this hope is, He said that you're going to be able to do what I asked you to do individually, moment by moment, because of love. Because of love, actually. There's one translation that says that the love of God empowers you and I to be able to do whatever He tells us to do. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that comforting? See, on the negative side of this, the world would want to look at this verse. The devil would want to take this verse and say, oh, but you messed up last week, so you must not love Jesus. That's not what this verse is saying at all. It's saying because of the love of God that is in your life, you're going to be able to know what pleases God. See, these words are not just on a page. These words are on your heart. These words are standing up in your life because the Word is Jesus. Jesus is not a word alone. He's an entity. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to talk to you every moment. He wants to tell you the truth when you're hurting. Come on, how many's been hurting? How many shed some tears about some situations and circumstances? Come on, He wants you to talk to Him about it. He wants you to just tell Him how you feel, and He wants you to lay your head on His shoulder, and He wants to just grab you in His arms and hold you. That's the kind of Jesus we're talking about. And He gives us then the command that will bring us out of that hurt, that heartache, that disappointment. He gives us the power to move on. That's the God I want to serve, aren't you? I want to trust in Him. All right, so Jesus makes this statement once again. He said, if you love me, simply keep my commandments. Now, see, we look at the word keep and we think, well, this is something that is something that I got to really put all my effort into. But when you and I rely on the love of God to give us strength, to give us boldness, to give us the ability, this word really means it means to keep your eye on. So I can't keep my eye on everything that God would have me to by myself, but by the Spirit, He never blinks. The Holy Spirit never sleeps. He's always looking at the Word of God. And so if I will allow Him to empower me, that means when I'm walking down the street and the devil has something there that would stumble me, something that would hurt me, the Holy Spirit's done saw it. And He's got a word for me that will help me keep what God would have for me. What does He have for me? Victory. He has victory for you. He has peace for you. He has love for you. He has all the things that you and I are looking for, but I spent so many years looking in the wrong place. But He has something that's not an empty basket. He has something that's running over. I have a confidence and a pull toward Him. But let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And I want you just to see a little bit about the love of God and see why you and I can keep these commandments and walk in this power. In 1 John chapter 4, let's start in verse number 8. 1 John 4 and 8, Brother Ryan, thank you so much. 1 John 4 and 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So I want you to get that in your heart. And I know you know that. You know, we think of love as an action of somebody saying something, you know, or a lot of times. Or we think that love is that feeling that we get that makes us feel warm all over and all of those things. And thank God for words and thank God for that feeling and all of those things. But we got to recognize that is on the carnal side of it. That's on the soulish side of it. The reality of it is that God just doesn't love. He is the source of love. And so the reason why that you love your spouse or you love your children or you love your mom and dad is because God put that love in there. He's the source of that. And so God is this love. And so Jesus tells me to keep His commandments by the love of God. Well, that gives me great hope. Because the love of God never fails. The love of God has all power. So I'm going to be able to do that, and I'm going to be able to walk closer to Jesus moment by moment because this love is being revealed. And look what he says in verse number 9. In this was manifested, or this was revealed, in this was revealed the love of God toward us. God wants you to feel and see and understand His love tonight. His love toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Isn't that something? He wants you to have life. Jesus actually made this statement. He said, I'm coming to this world that you might not only have life, but you might have it more abundantly. In other words, as we said by the Spirit of God this morning, there's a lot of people who have life, but they're not living. Jesus wants you to live. In other words, living is not just breathing. Living is, I have feelings. I have joy. I have peace. I have a hope. I have friends. I have family. I have something better than just this moment of torment that I'm going through. I have something to look forward to. And so we have all of that because Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He's your life tonight. And so he's telling us here that you can have everything that God has promised simply because he's gave us Jesus. So why would I want to compromise? No, I want Christ. I don't want to. The devil's done showed me everything in his playbook. Come on. As good as sex is, it lasts just a short period of time and it's over. Come on. But the Spirit of the living God is there with us continually to hold us in his arms and to show us what true peace, joy, excitement truly is. Come on. All of those things. Money, it goes away. Come on. It goes out a lot quicker than it comes in. But come on, he has a source for you and I that he will meet those needs and take care of us. He wants to be our shepherd. The Bible says when I make Jesus my Lord, that the Lord becomes my shepherd. And when he's my shepherd, I shall not lack. Those who walk uprightly in Jesus, they lack no good thing. Come on, Jesus wants to bless his people. And so I'm not going to settle for a compromise that the devil has. I'm going to hold on to Christ and I'm going to take the original. Come on, I don't need no counterfeit. I want the original, don't you? Verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Isn't that something? I didn't know who Jesus Christ was, but he loved me. Tonight, you didn't know who Jesus was, but he loved you. And he loves with the kind of... Hi, Brother David, bless you. He loves us with the kind of love that is unimaginable. His love doesn't judge me. He didn't come into the world to condemn me. He came into the world that through him I might have life. He wants to save me. He wants to save you. And what does that mean? You know, it sounds like a church term. What does that mean to be saved? It simply means that in Christ, I move from everything that is of death, that is lack, that is limiting, and I come into all the fullness of walking with God. Salvation simply means to be a part of the family. It simply means let God be the father of my life. I might not have had a good earthly example, but I've got a great heavenly example. Amen? To let him be my father. Let him take care of me. So I'm not going to compromise that. I'm not going to settle for anything this world has to offer through the devil, through the work of the flesh, when I can have Christ. Right? Amen? And so we got to teach this. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us, and he sent his son, he sent Jesus to be the propitiation for sin, the atonement, the pay the price. I couldn't take care of my sin. But Jesus said, don't worry, I'll pay it in full. Have you ever been in a place, come on, every one of us, we've owed a debt that we couldn't pay. You know, the month was longer than the money. You know, we was in a situation and we couldn't meet that need. And you said, what am I going to do? Well, every one of us was in a sin debt. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus said, don't worry, I'll pay it. I'll pay it for you. I'll be the one that'll take care of it. And you'll come out of the red into the black. But you and I really would come out of the black into the red. Because talking about the blood of Jesus, and he meets those needs for us. And so I need to see that God sent Jesus for me. Why would I want to compromise that? Come on, the world can't do it. Right? You know, they made this statement. They were talking about how if they had so many billions of dollars that there would be nobody starving to death. And they were jumping on Elon Musk and all this stuff and saying, you've got enough money to feed everybody. And he said, you show me where the tax money's going and I'll be willing to give you the money. Come on. But they're that's another story for another time. But there's plenty of money. Come on. We know where it's going and the devil's involved in every way of it. But you and I, we got to see that whatever need is in the earth, man's never going to be able to meet it, no matter what. But God can. And this is the answer. What you need tonight is just simply Jesus. You don't need a church building. You don't need a denomination name over your head. You don't need your name written in some book other than the Lamb's Book of Life. That's, if you just call on the name of the Lord and get your name written in that book, don't compromise anymore. Christ is going to hold your hand. He's going to meet your needs. Amen. That's an assurance. You've got to believe that. All right. So we have this assurance here that God is that love. And so when Jesus tells me to keep the commandments, I can do that because I've got this love working in my life. You've got this love working in your life. Can you imagine what your life would be without the love of God? It'd be impossible, right? But you've got love in your life. So go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Let's see something out of the mouth of Jesus, because we got to make sure we get the negative out of the way and get into the positive. Amen? See, there's a whole group of people who believe that everything's all right, that you can live any way you want to, and there's no consequence. And so you and I, we've got to stand up and tell them that God loves them, yes. But He loves to the point that He wants to change your life and make it better. And so there's a lot of people who think, well, if I just go to church, I'm going to go to heaven. If I just do this and do that. No, that's getting back into making ourselves an idol. We're making ourselves our Savior. Only Jesus can be our Savior. So look here how Jesus addresses a group of people in Matthew chapter 7 that think that they're all right when they're not. And that's why we've got to let the love of God help us to walk closer to Jesus in these last days than ever before. Look at verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Jesus, red letter, he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, mark that down, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, so it's not about what I think I need to do or what I want to do. It's about what God's called me to do, what God has called you. Every person on the face of the earth, they have a calling. You have an anointing to fulfill that calling. And so we can sit back and laugh about it. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "Yeah, God's been dealing with me for years to do this." And then they'll kind of snicker. Better get the snicker under the blood and better get the heart into obedience. Amen. We've got to do what God's called us to do. My flesh may not like it. Your flesh may not like it, but you were created for a purpose. Revelation 4:11, I want you to know, the Bible says that you were created for God's pleasure. That means nobody can please God quite like you. Isn't that something? So that's why the devil comes against you so hard. That's why he attacks in such a great level, is because he doesn't want you to realize that you can fulfill your potential simply by the power of the love of God and not self. It's all about Savior. Amen. But we can't compromise. Now notice what Jesus says. He said, "Many will say unto me in that day." We know what day he's talking about. The very day of judgment is coming. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" See, it's not about what we've done. I'm not getting to heaven because I've done this, this, and this. I get into the kingdom of heaven because I believe in what Jesus done for me. That's all you've got to do is believe. The Bible says, "Whoever believes in the heart, confesses with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, they shall be saved." And then you walk that out. It's not a one-time experience. Every day. Now let's talk about that just for a minute. Jesus said that those who say, "Lord, Lord." So this here, he's talking about words and he's talking about works. And we've got to understand just a little bit about the language here. The word "Lord" is from a Greek word "kurios," and it means supreme in authority. So in other words, when to be saved, you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you do that, you call on Jesus as Lord. Lord means then that you're saying you're supreme in authority in my life. In other words, you have the first and the final say. The first and the final say. See, we got to believe the Bible. The Bible says that we are bought with a price. And our life is no longer our own, but it's His. But that's okay, because I didn't have a life before. I had a short period of time of turmoil, and then after death, there's going to be judgment. But instead now, after death, Christ has took my judgment. And so I'm not going to compromise that. I'm going to hold on to that. And so right here, I've got to see that when I name Jesus my Lord, that I'm not going to be doing what I want to do, but I'm going to be doing what he wants me to do. But that doesn't mean life sucks. I mean, finally, life is getting to a place where it has meaning. Because all of the things that I was doing before, they didn't satisfy. For just a moment of time, I thought it's what I wanted. You know, and the flesh might have enjoyed it, but then here come everything attached with it. But see, God, He, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, 22, I believe it is, the Lord wants to make you and I rich, and He addeth no sorrow to it. Now, I don't know about you, but here's $1,000, or here's peace and complete contentment. Now, sometimes I might need $1,000, but I want the peace and contentment first, don't you? I want to know that everything's okay. Because medicine I don't care what man does, thank God for everything that man does to try to help us, but some things man can't take care of. And I want God to be able to take care of it. So I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to hold on to him. Now, look what he says in verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So there's, you know, if you and I are in the place where we're going to be the Lord of our own life, then when we stand before this judgment, we're going to be cast out. And we got to tell people that you're either in Jesus or you're not. There's no halfway. There's no, and so I know it's hard, but we got to be honest with people. Come on, the church has got to. They can't compromise. We can't water down the message just to get numbers. Right now, we've got mega churches all over the United States, and you can sit there and watch them, and you can feel just as good about yourself. Come on, did you ever watch it just to see? There's no conviction there. Everything's fine. You just come, just make sure you put your money in the plate, and everything's fine. No, you and I, we have to come together in the Word of God, and the Word of God changes us. We've got to stop compromising. And so we've got to teach this message, and you're going to reach people that I can't reach, and you've been called to stand firm and say, listen, Jesus loves you, but he loves you out of that situation. Aren't you glad? I don't have to stay bound. I don't have to stay in the place where everything's hurtful and disappointing. I can have a whole change in my life, and I want it, and I want to be able to bring that truth to other people. Okay. Let's get into something that will encourage us. Now, we're in the seventh chapter. Turn over to the fourth chapter of Matthew, and let's look at three things that Jesus said. He said, if we do these first three things of his commands, we're just going to pick the first three that would start you on your walk with Jesus. He said, if we do these first three, then you and I, we would walk with him like never before. I want that, don't you? He said, we could excel in life. We could have that abundant lifestyle. So let's look at these three things about that we start out in our walk with the Lord about keeping his commandments. Verse number 17 in Matthew chapter 4. The first words out of Jesus after the temptation and in his earthly ministry. Look what he says. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's the first commandment? Repent. Repent. The word repent simply means to have a change of thought. See, I don't know about you, but the devil had me so bound up in my mind about what religion was, what God was, what church was all about, what life was all about, that I didn't know if I was coming or going. Like the old saying, I used to meet myself coming. You know, all of those things. And so Jesus said, the etymology of this word is so powerful. It simply means when we repent, we put God back on top. Remember, Lord, supreme in authority. So I put Jesus back in his proper place in my life. And he told me, he said, if I would repent, look what he promised. For the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, right here. Because he tells us in Luke 17, 21, when you and I repent, the kingdom of heaven is in here. Isn't that something? Okay, in heaven right now, there's joy that's unspeakable. There's no lack. There's no sickness. There's no disappointment. There's no heartache. There's none of those things. Understand what I'm talking about. We're moving through the second heaven. We're going to the third heaven. We're going to I'm talking about the eternity in Jesus Christ. All of those things is there for us because God declares the very end from the beginning, what He designated, what He wanted, and that's what He has for us. And so I need to come to this place and say, well, if my repentance, when I put Jesus as Lord back on top, heaven's right here. I don't know about you, but I need heaven. I don't need this earth because this earth ain't working. Now, I'm in this earth. I understand it for a short period of time, but I don't have to be of this earth. The Bible said that you and I, that we are ambassadors. That means that we're operating. We have a citizenship, Paul said in the book of Philippians. We have a citizenship in heaven. That means the laws of heaven is what applies to your life, not the laws of this earth. So, see, the laws of this earth says that you're gonna live and you're going to die. The laws of heaven says you're going to live and you're going to live and you're going to live and you're going to live. Amen? This flesh will go to the ground maybe if we tarry, if the Lord doesn't come before we take our last breath. But you and I, we're going to live. We have that confidence. And so I want you tonight just to be in the place of expectancy that I can have heaven here. I can have heaven. Heaven means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it means all the access that the Bible says that you, when you get born again, that you're an heir of God in Romans 8 and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So you call out and say, I need to pull some things out of my heavenly bank account. I need some peace. I need some joy. I need some finances. I need some blessing. I need some direction. I need some wisdom how to live my life. All you got to do is ask. The Bible says in James chapter 4, we have not because we... Let's ask. What do you need tonight to make your life different? So we got to stop compromising and stop settling. Come on, we need to say, no, devil, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm going to live like the Bible says I can live. I'm going to trust in my Savior. I'm going to let it come to pass. All right, now drop down to verse 19. So we've got to repent. Now, when we put God back on top, that changes everything. And then look at the next thing about if you love me, you keep my commandments. Look at the second command that comes to us. Verse number 19, and he saith unto them, he's talking to you and I, but he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you, in this case, I will make you fishers of men. So we repent. That's the first command to show the love of God and show how the love of God is operating in our life. Then we start following Jesus. Now this word follow simply means to become disciplined, to be a disciple in Jesus. So what does that mean? That means that I no longer live by the word of self or the word of the world, but I live by the word of my God. I become disciplined in that. And he said, if I would just take him at his word, he would make me. Now, what I saw in the Spirit when I was praying about this is that if you and I will take heed to this word tonight, that he will help us tear down some things in our life that has been built by the world, that has been built by the devil, that has been built by even my own actions in my life when I was walking after the world. He will tear down those things and he will build new things. I want that, don't you? I want to recognize that the Bible says that I am, that you are the building of God. Come on, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the building of God. And he wants to make some things in our life. So he wants to come in there, and if I'll just simply say, Lord, by the love of God, I've repented about the way I saw myself. Don't see yourself the way the devil tells you are, the way the world tells you are, the way that people tell you you are. See yourself the way the Lord tells you that you are. He said that he loves you with an everlasting love. He says that nothing can separate you from his love. He sees you, as we said just a moment ago, Revelation 4:11, as his pleasure. The world, they point out all the things that they want to judge you about. But God looks at you through the blood of Jesus. And Jesus has done took care of that, and we're walking in that, being sanctified, come on, being pruned and purged, being cleaned by the Word of God, and all of those things. And so I see myself that way, and I don't compromise. I say, Lord, I'm going to let you tear down these lies, and I'm going to let you resurrect. I'm going to let you make. I'm going to let you build up in my life what you have for me. And when we do that, then those relationships that look like they're destroyed, those opportunities look like that they have no way of ever coming to fruition, come on, all of a sudden, they just manifest. Because God's blessing you. He's working in your life. Amen? So, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will. I will. I want you to know that God's willing tonight. Come on, the devil's, he wants to get on your shoulder and say, well, if you do this, then maybe God might think about it. No. God's willing. God is saying, I will do in your life what the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can. Because we ask and we think some things that we wouldn't even ask, right? So he goes above and beyond that. So what do you need tonight? What's your secret desire? I tell you, even if you're not walking close with the Lord, even though maybe you there's a lot of things in your life, just try him. The Bible says try him and see if he won't pour you out a blessing. He'll bless you on credit to show you how much he loves you and what he wants to do in your life. Amen? All right. Go with me back to John. We was in John 14. Let's go to John 15. Now, I want you to see something I think that is very encouraging, and I think it'll bless you. In John chapter 15, look in verse number 9. John 15 and 9. As the Father has loved me, now this is out of the mouth of Jesus, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, abide, live in my love. So I want you to get that in your heart. In the same degree that God loves the Father loves God, that's how they love you. That's what we're going to document out of this particular text dealing with love. God loves you that way, and if the love of God is working in your life, and it is, it's going to change the way you see things, the way you understand things. It's going to build a hope. It's going to build an expectancy. Not only that, it's going to release faith to bring the provision and the promise of heaven into your life every day. Because you're saying, no, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to settle. I can have peace in my mind. I can have joy in my heart. I can have happiness in my home. Come on, I'm tired of going through things, aren't you? And letting the devil say, well, come on, you've seen it in your mom and daddy, you've seen it in your grandma and grandpa, you've seen it all the way down through the family line, that curse is going to stay attached. No, Jesus, Galatians 3:13, come to redeem you and I from the curse. I'm sorry what happened there, but it's not going any farther in Jesus' name. It's broke. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to let him do what he said he could do. Verse number 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide, you shall continue, have that expectancy in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So here's what we got to do. We got to step back and we got to say, Jesus, I was a sinner. I couldn't do anything you told me to do. Honesty. Just telling. But now, you saved me because I believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth. I made you the Lord of my life, supreme in authority. I put you back on top. And so now, because you could live it, and I'm a part of your sacrifice, my success is not what I can't do, but it's what you did do for me. Right. Amen? That love is there. That power is there. That promise is there. And so I'm not going to compromise that. I'm going to say, wait a minute. In myself, I know I fail. I come up short. But in Jesus, come on, all is well. In Jesus, there is power to overcome because he has made me more than a conqueror. Come on, you are an overcomer in Jesus. You've got to believe that. Now look what he said. How does it happen? Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain, might abide, have an expectancy in you, and that your joy might be full. Now see, I can never be in the place and the position where I escape compromise until I let the joy of the Lord into my life. Because the Bible says in Nehemiah 8 and 10 that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's what the devil does. I don't know how he attacks you, but me, he comes after that joy. Because when I have the joy of the Lord, I'm strong. I'm in the place of expectancy, the place of hope, the place of confidence in Jesus. But when the devil steals that joy and I don't abide in that reality and that truth, I get down in the mouth. And when I get down in the mouth, my eyes go from up here to down here. And when you start looking around in the world, you're going to see everything that's wrong. And there's plenty wrong. But we can't compromise. We're going to say, wait a minute, I failed for that yesterday. God forgave me. I'm not falling for it today. I'm going to let Jesus help me to refocus and to be strong. And He'll do it. And it's not about the mistakes. It's about the Messiah. Come on, it's about Him. It's about Him. Just trust in Him. Let Him do it. Now, here's what He says. We went all there to come right here. Verse number 12, John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Remember, Jesus said, keep my commandments, right? And you do it by the love of God. So now we come full circle. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So I need to step back and I need to tell Jesus, be honest, listen, I haven't been loving like I was supposed to. That's not a bad confession. That's a good confession. Right. Because you open up your heart before the Lord, what He's already read anyway. And you said, Lord, I've got some feelings here about somebody. I've got some ought, some division. I've got some things in my heart that's there. And I'm going to open it up to You. And I'm going to give it to You. I'm tired of carrying this in my life. I'm aggravated. I'm hurt. I'm mad. I'm disappointed. Whatever the feeling might be, you open it up to Jesus and you say, now, Lord, I know that You love me, even though this has been in my life, it's been through my life, but You love me with this perfect love, and I want this perfect love to help me to keep Your commandments. And You said, You commanded me to love others as You love me. That word as means to the same quantity and the same quality. Now, Jesus is a God of hope and expectancy. So that's not something that makes you go. You and I go, oh no, I can never do that. No, it's like, you mean I can do that? I don't even like them. Jesus didn't say anything about like. We got to separate love and like. Like is a feeling. Remember we said God is love. Love is the reality of God. So don't let that stop you tonight. You and I, we just need to tell the Lord, say, Lord, they hurt me. They discourage me. They don't even... There's some of the people that don't understand You. And because they don't understand You, it's called this great chasm, this great gap between you and them. The cross will fill in that gap. The love of God will bring that together. Amen. If you'll just be honest with the Lord and just tell Him, say, listen, I don't like what they're doing. I don't like what they're saying, but I'm going to love them. Because You said I could. So in the name of Jesus right now, I say that I love them to the degree that You love me. And I love them with a pure love. Come on. See, the world loves, oh, Brother Donnie, I love you so much. I need you to come help me do a few things. I love you if you'll do this, if you'll do that. No, but God has a love for us that's pure and holy. He doesn't expect anything in return. He just wants you. You ever been around somebody you know that they didn't want you, they just wanted what you could do for them? Well, guess what? I can't do anything for God, but He still wants me. He just wants to be with me. He just wants to be with you. Isn't that amazing? Oh, glory. So tonight I want to be in the place and the position where I'm honest with God. I say, God, right now I've got some people in my life that I don't like them. I don't like their attitude. I don't like their actions. Their words aggravate me. Come on. You get it out there. Then all of a sudden, as you have poured out your feelings to Him, then He brings faith into you. See, I can never get into faith until I get rid of the feelings. So I get the feelings out to God, not to somebody else. Now, sometimes God will allow you and I to talk to other people, and that if He orchestrates it, that's great. But too many times our feelings turn into a gripe session. Come on, murmuring. God, we know what God did with the children of Israel, and they're murmuring. So let's get rid of that, and let's get alone with the Lord. Amen? And when we do, some things happen. Okay, this is my commandment, that you love one another as, in the same degree, the same quantity, same quality, as I have loved you. Now, how do we do that? Because we want to put legs on this. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to let you go. Don't get distracted. But how do we do that? How are we able to do that? We're going to look at two verses, and I'll let you go. Turn back over to the 13th chapter real quick and look at verse 34. John 13:34. Out of the mouth of Jesus, He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Second witness to what we read. "As I have loved you, that you love one another. By this," verse 35, "shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Remember, we talked about, Jesus said, follow me, be disciplined in me, become my disciple. So what we have to do is, as Jesus shows us a situation, don't let the devil show you the situation that God hasn't discipled you in yet. Come on, I'm talking about victory. I'm talking about success. If the devil, he's good at when we have a great revelation, when we have the Word of God working in our heart, he'll try to get our attention off of what God's wanting us to work in, and he'll try to take us to a place that I'm not ready for. Amen. We don't do that, because we'll falter every time. So I don't let anybody else tell me, "Did you hear that message tonight? You better go love on this." No. No, it's between you. So let him show you. So I'm gonna let disciple me. Now, when you do that, in closing, one of my favorite verses, you know, I quote it all the time, Romans 5:5. Romans chapter 5, verse number 5. Look at we'll read the whole verse, but look at the last part especially. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is." What tense is "is"? Hallelujah. "For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." What's the conduit? "Which is given unto..." So you can't be born again unless the Spirit of God draws you. And then you're born again and the Spirit of God comes and lives in you. So the Holy Spirit is inside. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So He's inside of you, and He wants to pour out the quantity and the quality of the love of God moment by moment, where you can keep the commands, not this whole book at once, but the commands of life as you're taking step by step. And as you are allowing the Lord to order your steps, you're being pruned and purged. The Word of God is coming in and through your life, and you're becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen? So I can keep His commandments. I can have a relationship with God the Father, and I can love those who seemingly are unlovable. I don't have to accept what they've done or what they've said. I just have to love them. And so I look over all the hurt. I look over all of those things, and I say, "You're not going to have an avenue, an open door in my life anymore." In Jesus' name, amen? Now I want to close with this thought. I think this will really bring home what the Spirit of God would have for us tonight. Here in Arkansas, and I'm sure in other states as well, but let's just say, Brother Donnie, come here and help me. Let's say that I've got a 1,000-acre farm, and you come and you want to buy that farm. All right? And I say, "Sure, I'll sell you that 1,000 acres. And you buy that 1,000-acre farm for me." But I say, one condition. I said, there's a spot in the middle of that farm, 1 acre, I want to keep for myself, because it's got a little stream there, and I'm going to build me a cabin right there. And I'll sell you the other 1,000 acres if you'll let me have that 1 acre. But if he does that, if he buys all of that other, but he lets me have that 1 acre in the center of that farm, then Arkansas law says that he's got to give me a right-of-way to the center of that property. So see, you and I, we can be walking with Jesus. Oh, we're walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
Everything's good. But there's one area down deep here in my heart that I haven't gave to Jesus. There's just one thing. You know, I'm praying. I'm loving on Jesus. I'm not forsaking myself gathering together. Thank you, Brother Donnie. And all of these things, I'm doing all of these things. But there's just one thing. And that one thing means that the devil can come in the center of my life any time he wants to. See, I told you a while back I got sick, and I made it real clear. I'm not saying because you got sick because you sinned, but I got sick because I sinned, because I judged a situation. I wanted it to be the way I wanted it. And if it wasn't that way, I was going to get mad about it. And it would have been all right if I kept it between the Lord and me, but then all of a sudden I had to start opening my mouth. Did God make me sick? No. But the devil come right into that little 1 acre, and he unleashed hell. See, so what we want to do is say, Lord, what are you wanting me to do right now? Right now. What's the one thing that you're telling me that you want me to keep in my life? Maybe he just wants you to say, I just want you to say you love me. I just want you to say that you trust me. Tonight, somebody needs to say, in your situation, I just trust you. And if you'll do that, if you'll do the one thing that he's talking to you about tonight, you'll close that off. Now, don't get me wrong. There'll be other things in the future that he'll show you and help you with, but it'll be as you grow. Amen? So it's very important that we do that. Amen? Let me share this with you just for a second. Let's look at history. On December 7th, 1941, there was a group of officers on a small island in the Pacific, and they tried desperately to get a hold of the people at Pearl Harbor. And they told them, said, hey, there's 353 planes headed your direction. 353. And they gave them the warning. And they, as they tried to get hold of somebody at Pearl Harbor, they couldn't find anybody because it was Sunday. And they finally found a lieutenant, and they gave him the information. And his words were, don't worry about it. They're probably planes from California. See, that's what the Hyper Grace Movement would do. Don't worry about it. Well, they're just as dead now as they was on December 7th at 9 o'clock as they'll ever be. I'm talking about in the flesh. So you and I, we got to come back to the place. We need to worry about some things in the sense that we give everything to Jesus. We hold on to him, amen? And we let him be the one that has the final say in our life. Amen? Let's let him have the final say. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you touch this group of people. I thank you for their attention. I ask that you would just bless them. Right now, draw them with your spirit like never before. And those who have questions in their heart, those who have hurt in their heart, those things that their mind is just in a lot of waves from this happening and that happening that does not have nothing to do with them, but it's from people in their lives that are acting and under the influence of this world and under the influence of sin itself. Would you just speak peace to them? Would you give them a word this morning that will close off the work of the enemy? Give them a command that they can keep by the love of God right now that will change their life. And if there's any that don't know you as they should, would you just touch them and draw them right now by your spirit? Help us to pray with each other and for one another where we can have everything that you would have for us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight, make yourself an altar, help us to just come to the Lord together as a group of believers. And if you have a need tonight, we'll pray with you. If you don't feel comfortable coming to the front, if you'll raise your hand, I'll come back and pray with you. The Lord is getting ready to pour out more of His Spirit. And to be able to do that, you and I, we've got to be more sanctified. Because where there's more spirit and more power, if you and I are not walking in holiness, ask Ananias and Sapphira. Some things are going to happen. And so we've got to let the Word of God prune us and purge us. We've got to get closer to Him. And so if you need anything in your life, if you need a word of truth, we'll agree with you. And I believe the Spirit of God will speak to you tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. If you need to know Jesus a little bit better and you say, would you just help me to pray the prayer of faith? Would you help me to know Jesus better? Then we'll pray that prayer with you. I don't know where everybody's at tonight. Only you. That's between you and the Lord. But we're here to help you if you need anything. Hallelujah.